Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome for Thursday, February 18, 2016. I am Rob Smirnoff Fuzzle, and this is Smirnoff Live. We got our special guest, my regular co-host, online. Let me make sure that he is on the line with us. I am having some technical difficulties beyond my control. This kind of happened last night. Yes, I lost my internet connection again. Yay. That's exactly what I wanted. Not really, but just give me a few moments. I will disconnect from the net, and I will reconnect. Get an IP address. There we go. And let me close out some of these windows. And here we are.
Hello.
And we have Mr. CJ Glickman on the line. Sorry about that. The same thing happened last night. I don't know if this is overwhelming bandwidth. But we are live on the air, Smirnoff Live for February 18, 2016. As I swore, I am Rob Smirnoff Puzzle, your host and my co-host from Glickman Markinson Productions. Mr. C.J. Glickman, and tonight's episode, we are going to talk about the pacification of America. We're also going to talk about criticism, but actually it's going to be criticism first, pacification, and then we'll talk about whatever comes to mind. So with that being said, Mr. Glickman, please take it away with your statement.
All right, so one thing that I have noticed, and I've been guilty of this a few years ago, I made this horrible movie. And it's only a movie because it's feature length. That's the only thing that makes it a movie. Other than that, it was a horrible movie, but I was so into it. It was based on my relationship with this woman I was engaged to, and I did a gimmick. So with my audience at that time, it backfired horribly. I faked my death for 6 months. People cared. People were sad. People were mad when they found that I wasn't really dead because I faked my death, and people went through emotions because it turns out I had more fans than I realized. But it was such a bad movie. You know, when you're so into it, you don't want to make a bad movie. But, you know, the writing was on the wall. I mean, I used webcam footage that people – a webcam videos that people made talking about me in the movie. We made a fictionalized version of this. Well, I was talking to this girl. She saw the movie. She was bored. She was very bored, and I got defensive and mad. Now, as I've gotten older, I have learned to take criticism with stride. You know, constructive criticism is always good, appreciate, but when people... when you criticize today, if you criticize a female, you're a male and you criticize the female, you're labeled a sexist, okay? Even though I don't really see gender that much, I don't really see gender. The only time gender matters to me is who I'm having sex with. That's about it. But as a male, as a white male in this country, which apparently I have white privilege, I don't remember seeing that, but hey, I do apparently. And I should be guilty about that, right? Apparently, I don't know. I know a lot of weird white dudes are feeling guilty right now, and it's sad. But when you criticize a woman in this country, or anybody that's not my color, because, you know, apparently people will say it's not about race, but it is about race because they always make it a race issue or a gender issue or a sexual orientation issue. If you don't like an actress or a female director's movie, you're sexist if you're a male criticizing them. If you don't want Hillary Clinton to be president, you're sexist. You know, there's criticism, and then there's unwarranted criticism. There's the guys online that, you know, write comments in the section on YouTube. You know, the trolls and a-holes who want to over-criticize things. There are people that over-analyze things. You know, colleges today. The millennials. Now, I'm a millennial, but I'm on the north of 30, not 20. You know, I'm about the south of 20 and north of 30. And I, even with people in my age range, they break down because they're not used to being told they're wrong. You tell a college age person, doesn't matter what gender they are, they will break down. Criticize them, you know, and right now a bunch of groups of people are trying to make colleges a safe space, which college is supposed to be institution of learning. If you want a safe space, you should stay home. You know, it's gotten bad to the point if you do criticize something, you got to be careful who you're criticizing. Otherwise, you might be called sexist, racist, or homophobic. Oh, I would like to give a shout out to a special person out there. I hope my voice is making your ears bleed, sweetie.
Well, that depends on if this individual will listen to the show, but I digress.
Criticism, I personally didn't criticize this person, right? I was trying to give them helpful advice because, let's be honest here, they're not ready for prime time, as in they should be behind the camera, not in front of the camera. I learned this. I'm not a front of the camera type of guy anymore. I have my business partner handle the stuff in front of the camera because he is good on camera. He looks good on camera. People like how he looks. Both men and women like it. So,
hey, not to cut you off, but we have another caller that just called in. Let him join the show. Hello, caller 214. Who are we speaking to?
Right.
Hello?
Hello. Hi.
Hello, caller?
Yeah. What's up?
I think I know. Oh, it's you. Hey, what's going on?
Sion Illy.
Okay.
What are we talking about?
We are talking about criticism and how people, if you criticize anything, you're called a sexist, a Marxist, a feminist, and things of that nature, which leads and segues a perfect segue into our next topic, the pussification of America. See, the pussification of America started, I think, really in 2013. And basically...
It started way before then.
It started in the late 70s with the whole self-esteem movement. Late 70s, we got cartoons were sanitized for boys. First of all, you can't even have the good shit.
The good cartoons back in the day, Tom and Jerry.
I own Batman cartoons from the 60s, and I also own the 70s one. The 60s one are better because guess what? There are guns in them. You know, we Saturday morning got sanitized by mothers. The self-esteem movement came in, and then in the 90s, the whole PC thing started. You know, now we're in a weird situation where you even comment on slurs. You even mention a slur, people take it out of context.
I just had one of my friends text me, and just shout out to him. I won't mention his name, but if he's listening, he said a very, very good phrase. Digress is the word of the day. And, you know, we live in a society right now where anything that we say or do can be used against you in the court of law. Anything that we say or do, you criticize somebody, then you have to, especially on social media, on a podcast, you got to sit there and you have to justify your reasons. And as always, we have to give the disclaimer, of the views that we have are of our own and are not affiliated with any type of companies that we may be working for and or a part of.
Or owned. My company, Glickman Markinson Productions, does not endorse anything I'm saying right now. What does our caller have to say about the pussification of America?
I think ethics are one of the most important things that we have here in America. That's what I think. I think that without this matter of law, of doing what's right or what's right, not what's wrong, but I think that we really need to do what's right and stand up for what's right and live our lives according to such. But I don't think it's right for people to step in and say that we're doing something wrong when we know in ourselves that we're doing it right. You know what I mean? So.
Now, if you're talking about in terms of Christianity, you know, that's one man's view.
I'm not even talking about Christianity. I'm talking about any kind of theology that any person has, any one person believes.
I mean, my thing is this, you know, it's like we're supposed to have freedom of expression, freedom of speech, and especially in politics. The reason I support Donald Trump, even though he hasn't specifically stated, oh, we're going to make America great again, and I'm going to build a wall. Don't know how we're going to do it. He hasn't explained. But the reason why he's the leading candidate in the Republican Party, and the reason I respect him, is because he doesn't give a damn about what you think about him. He's got the money in the bank. And, yes, he's had failed ventures with his golf course that he tried to build in Sweden, and the Swedish people didn't want to hear about it, to his resorts that have failed. He's filed bankruptcy a couple times over. But the thing about this billionaire is he has always, always spoke his mind, and I respect that. And regardless, as much as I love Jim Cornette, regardless of what he has to say about the Republican Party, because he'll go on a rant and rave, and I wish I could have Jim Cornette on the show, but Donald Trump stands for truth, justice, and what the American way is supposed to be about. And that's just one man's opinion. You may not agree with me, and that's fine. And that's why we have these debates, and that's why we are on
Radio R Show. You know what was interesting to me today?
What?
I've seen a debate on TV probably like, I don't know, on the 9 o'clock news. Is with Jeffries, Pastor Jeffries. He supports Trump, and he was talking to the effect of the Pope and how the Pope was wrong. You heard about what happened with the Pope and Donald Trump?
Yeah, the Pope says it's not very Christian, like how Donald Trump is acting, basically.
Yeah. But anyway, so Pastor Jeffries, the pastor of First Baptist Church Dallas, he came on and he was talking about how he basically supports Donald Trump, and that he talked to the effect of like how the Pope was even criticizing his book that he wrote. Not all roads lead to heaven.
I personally,
there's a great documentary that they've been trying to get out. You can watch it for free. It's the truth. They made it 25 years ago about Donald Trump. And it shows him
and it talks about how he exploited immigrant labor. And I'm not talking about Mexicans or Puerto Rican. I'm talking about Polish. He exploited Polish labor. Trump Towers is not built well. I'll put it to you that way. They use cheap building supplies for that. People that live there actually hate living there. It's not a luxury place. It looks like a apartment that you would find in the ghetto inside the apartments because they showed it. It's very.
Yeah, it sounds like the apartment complex I live in, and
It reflects. It reflects where you live actually. If you saw what it looked like in Trump Towers, you would be like, "Wow, he's charging this much for it based on height and who lives in his apartment complex." That's what it is. But there's I like Donald Trump. I like Donald Trump as an entertainer. He is a smart businessman, but a person who doesn't care what you think is a very dangerous person.
Yeah, that's true because, you know, God forbid if he wins, FM Nation is real. My boy, we'll call him MJ. My boy I work with, my day job, giving him a shout out, and he's probably going to get on my ass about some things we talked about on here. But it's real, man. Pacification of America is real, and until someone of power politically, monetarily, that can connect with the audience like Donald Trump has, we'll continue to see the pussification of America at its very core. And when it's at its very core,
it's getting worse. This generation of children are the second generation of children playing baseball, Little League, and they're not losing. Everyone gets a trophy. This is the everyone gets a trophy generation, and we're already at the second generation of that. Okay, we're in a generation where every child gets a trophy. Okay, come on.
Yeah, the days when I was coming up, when you fought.
Yeah, I gotta go. So I'm gonna talk to y'all later.
All right, man. Thanks for coming on. That was my good friend Michael Smith. By the way, I buzzed the shit out of him last night, and he was like, "Dude, you buzz me again, I'm gonna block you." I'm like, okay, fuck you, whatever, you know. I was fucking around last night. I know not to buzz CJ. CJ, get in your ass. I don't want to hear you fucking get in my ass. We're on good terms, and I know how you could be a chicken time bomb.
I have a temper, which is why now my business partner takes care of the firings. You know, which is why he takes care of that shit.
Yeah, I think that would be the best practice
very diplomatic about things. I we had one artist, this kid, he's 22 years old, and he didn't make the deadline, and I just tore into him. I blocked him on Facebook.
In business, when I say business, I'm talking about a day job. You have to be diplomatic. You have to be tactful. But when it comes to anything else, my late great economics teacher back in 11th grade, the late great John Zachary from Waco, Texas, he taught me logic. And he also taught me that you try to be tactful with people, they don't want to listen. But the moment you get in their ass, you put what I like to call the black man's Achilles heel into a motherfucker's ass, then you get their attention. And that's why Donald Trump doesn't give a fuck, because he's got the money, he's got the backing, he's got the support, because people are tired.
But he's not going to win. He's not going to win.
He may win the Republican nomination, but
hardcore Republicans that don't want to vote for him.
I mean, we're doomed to fuck as a country either way, because whoever our next president
is. It doesn't really matter who's. I'll be honest with you. As long as Hillary doesn't win, and not because she's a woman, because she's a lying bitch. That's why. And I'm seeing
stuff in our
Twitter
server, and then she started playing Damage Control, talking about how
she went after video games. Okay, how is that going to solve anything? Going after video games. Okay, I'm sorry. You know, and here's the thing. I'm seeing all my gay followers on the LGBT groups, even the Advocate on Twitter. That, you know, they're all repeating what Hillary's saying. I'm like, why are you listening to her? She didn't care about you guys when she was married to Bill, or when she was the first lady. Why are you believing her now? She didn't give a crap about you guys. Bernie Sanders, I'm telling you right, I'm leaning closer to Bernie Sanders than I was before. I just got done watching the lecture with him.
People are using
socialism, and I'm like, you do, and communism. Communism and socialism are very different.
Yeah. I mean, he at least the motherfucker came out and said, look, I'm a socialist. I don't see him passing a law unless it's an executive order about, you know, college being free. Fuck, hell, you know, with my fucking college debt, shit. I mean, fuck, I'm all for it. I mean
most countries has free college. Most countries, most of the civilized countries that are not America have free college education. That should tell you something. I'm just saying, you know, and people want to talk about taxes. Well, here's the thing, dude. The middle class is the most taxed there is. I would think people want these billionaires, would want these big companies to pay their share of taxes because they all get tax breaks. So that's the thing. I'm like, well, wait a minute. All you middle class in lesser income Republican households, why would you keep voting for rich men? Why not vote for somebody that understands the struggle? That's all I'm thinking. Logic. I'm thinking with logic here. I'm playing devil's advocate. Because I'm not really going to say what my candidate is.
What I'm about to say is going to be controversial, and, well, hell, this is a controversial show, so I'm going to say it. I think that the same refund that these women that continue to have pop out baby after baby after baby, mostly is the Hispanic, and as much as it pains me to say this, the African-American communities,
I think you should clarify something, dude. What are you?
I am biracial. I've always
but
considered what, myself
what, what's
biracial.
What's the other race?
My last name is French, so I'm half black, half white.
Okay, yeah, you're half black. So this is coming. I'm a white guy. This is coming from a half black man. Okay, this is coming from a half black man.
If you ask me what would I consider myself if I had to make a choice between black and white, I tend to, on the music side, even though I'm progressive and listen and play a lot of different styles as a musician, I tend to lean more towards the white side. But as far as me as a person overall, I would have to tend to be black because
I just wanted to clarify that so people know when you're talking about this, that you're a black man criticizing your own community. It's not a white guy criticizing it.
And it's not criticizing the black community. I'm criticizing all these women that are having baby after baby after baby. They get $3,000 to $6,000, sometimes $10,000. I remember this one chick. She went on Facebook years ago, and she was talking about flaunting about getting an $8,000 fucking tax return. And I'm lucky if I even get either break even or $1,000 my damn self. You know.
My advice to you is get a vagina because vaginas are golden tickets.
You saw what happened with that, and I damn sure don't want to have a kid. I'm almost 35, and I'm not saying that it won't happen, but I'm going to do whatever it takes to make sure that that some bitch don't come out. You know what I mean? I do not want to have a kid. I'll just tell you straight up. I don't want to have a kid, you know, to continue the legacy of the Uncle family. Maybe that'd be great. You know, my dad told me one thing one time, and it was very heartfelt, that he wanted to have a biracial, blood-related, biological granddaughter or grandson, and he wanted me to make that happen. Now, just because Dad wants that doesn't mean that I'm going to oblige, because at the end of the day, it is my responsibility to take care of that child.
Well, yeah, just knock up a chick and pay child support. And pay that, because she'll be spending that money on things for her, and the kid will get just a piece of it, because that's what's happening. Oh, and if you bring up, hey, why don't you say what you're buying? Why don't you make a list, or what's it called, inventory on what you're spending the money on, or invoice? All these women groups will protest that, because it's no one's business what they spend the child support money on.
My advice to anybody that is thinking about getting married, make sure that you separate your shit. If you are married, if there's any way you can separate your shit, take it from a divorce.
Well, out here in California, it's community property, 50%.
Yeah, make sure it's 50-50. What's yours is yours, what's hers is hers, and if y'all accumulate anything together, then if y'all can't act like rational, sensible, reasonable, grown-ass adults, then that's the time that you as a man, you step out and you say, okay, I'm the husband, and, you know, according to the good book that I know that you don't believe in and worship, but the book I worship says that the man is the head of the household, and the woman is supposed to be his subordinate in a lot of ways. But it also talks about...
I'm not traditional. There are people out there... I'm not traditional. I'm not into traditionalism. I'm not into that whole, you know, hey, I'm not going to fucking... Pardon my French. To bust my ass and build my company and build my career, and then to give it to some bitch who doesn't think, oh, things well off, I don't have to work. I'm not going to support a bitch. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, so.
Oh, and if I
and
me using bitch offends anybody out there, then don't be a dumb bitch.
As long as you ain't talking about man's butt, we're good. Shout out to my boy. You know who you are. You know I just fuck with you.
No,
I'm not gay. No, I'm not bi. I just used the shit out of that fucking inside joke. Anyway, we got about less than a minute.
Check out my company on Twitter, GlickMarkPro. Go to our website, GlickMarkPro.com. Check us out on YouTube, Glickman Markinson Productions. Also, check out our Facebook, Glickman Markinson Productions. We got some cool stuff coming. Right
yeah,
now, there's a production
website.
Going on.
Checked out the website myself last night, and I was on Twitter. GlickMarkPro.com is the website to go to. It has all the links to pretty much every social media site you can think of, YouTube, Facebook. Except MySpace, because nobody uses it. Pinterest, Tumblr, you name it, it's there.
We're on Tumblr.
After party, fuck it, okay. We pretty much ran out of on-air time, but hey, fuck it, we got another 10-15 minutes.
Why not?
How was your day?
It was very restful. I got some rest. I decided, okay, I need to catch up on my sleep. I busted my ass for 2 weeks straight, so I had to just relax my legs and get shit redone. I had a nice shot of some Kahlua last night. Kahlua has become my favorite drink. You can make white Russians with it.
With me, I've just been busy. I'm looking at another place to move to. I think I found the place, but Saturday I'm going to take she's my ex-girlfriend, but we're really good friends, and nothing is going to...
I'm not an adult like that. I can't be friends with my exes. I really can't.
At first it was like, you know, can I keep my feelings in check at the door? And it's all good because, you know, she's done a lot of good stuff for me and likewise to her. So it's not a situation where I'm a simp. I'm just simply hanging out with a friend.
Well, it's a friend. I'll tell you what, if you want to know the best type of female friends I've learned that I've had? Two kinds. There's not just them. They're... I try to stay away from lesbians unless they're, you know, interesting. I've had two. You know, the best type of female friends are to have are older female friends in their 50s, 40s, and 50s, or transsexual female friends, because you know you aren't going to try to hit that.
Of course not. No.
You know, I'm not into that. Now, people that are into that, hey, man. You know what? Good for you. I'm friends right now. I made friends a couple of weeks ago with this wonderful trans woman. Wonderful. I wish she's the sister I've always wanted. I'll put it to you that way. She's like the sister I always wanted. Very nice woman. Going for struggles. She's got some extra struggles on top of that. You know, she's very open. But that seems to be, like, the best female friends, the older female friends and trans. Now, the older female friends I still hit on, I will say that.
Yeah, of course. Well,
but it's
more friendly. Depends on what they look like, you know, and if they
y'all have
all
my older female friends are attractive, you know.
Yeah.
What about if
y'all become fuck buddies and that whole situation? Because at the end of the day, somebody's going to get feelings for the others. So you have to kind of watch the boundaries.
I've seen a lot of disasters happen with fuck buddies. I'll put it to you that way. Friends, you know, but I've also, I'm going to be going to a different location soon.
Okay.
I can't go into that yet, but I'm going to a different location soon.
Right.
I will be getting a fuck buddy.
Well, good luck, man.
I will be getting a fuck buddy, and here's what I've realized. I'm in a situation right now where I just don't want a relationship. I don't want that. I don't, you know, hey, if she wants to fuck other dudes, I guess I got to deal with that.
Right.
I don't really care though at this point in my life. 'Cause it's like this, if she's going to fuck another dude and she falls for that dude, okay. Took that off my, you know, not my fuck buddy anymore, whatever. I just don't care about a relationship. And I will be honest about this. Yes, it would be weird having a fuck buddy that fucks other people. It would be weird. I'm not going to lie. It's kind of weird. It would be something I'd have to get past. So now we're just fuck buddies that I don't know. Can fuck buddies be exclusive?
You can be an exclusive fuck buddy, yeah. I mean, it's not uncommon, you know.
I mean, if it's just sex and there's no relationship, but it's understand, hey, I'm not going to stick it in somebody else's hole. You're not going to let somebody else stick it in your hole. we're not really in a relationship. It's more of a convenience type of deal.
Friends with benefits. That's exactly what it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, friends with benefits is what is the type of thing I'm going to be doing, is what I'm planning on. Because, you know, I'm going to be in a different area. It's going to be more, you know, hopefully more easy to do than my situation at the moment.
Well, good luck on that. You know, I'm
you
sure
know,
when you get...
I mean, I've had like, you know, friends with benefits type of deal before. It just, it was, I was younger. So, yeah, I had a jealousy streak.
Yeah.
When I was younger. Now, like I said, like, hey, if the chick does fuck somebody else, it's my option not to fuck her, too. Right?
Right, of course.
You know, I'm kind of tired. I've gone through, I'm going to say this, it's very controversial. Bisexual women are annoying and hassle to be with. I've been with a few bisexual women in my life, and they have been nothing but hassles. They all have seem to have mental issues. It's been my experience. You find me a bisexual chick that doesn't have issues, I will find you a unicorn.
Yeah, really.
I mean, I'm not trying to be mean here. I'm just stating I have had nothing but issues with bisexual girls or women,
well,
or whatever you want to call them.
CJ, my advice to you would be to go with the plan that you already have. Go for the older woman, because the older woman's already been there, done that. What you're trying to do, she's been there, she's seen it all, she's done it all, she's mature, and just have that understanding that, hey, look, this is what it is. If you want to be with me, it's going to be under these terms. And you make sure you have it all juggled out.
Well, yeah.
I'm
in a weird situation to where I will have more access to certain women because of my business and how things are going now.
Well,
and I'm not going to lie.
Dude, the first time I saw a condom was when I was 10 years old. I'll share a quick story. I was molested by another male friend of mine. I told you about that. And he was 14, I was 10.
Are you sure you want to talk about this on the air, dude?
I don't really care. I mean, it is what it is. And my sister sat me down, and I never forget it. She pulled out a condom, and she let me look at it and feel it. And she says, you know what this is? And I'm 10 years old. So I'm like, no, what is it? She told me what it was, and she told me, if you're going to have sex, make sure you do use this. And since that time, 25 years ago, that stuck with me. And
I'm not going to lie. There have been times where I have not protected myself. I'm not going to lie. It was with the same partner, but I just, you know.
The only two women that I've had unprotected sex with was the ex-wife and his girlfriend Jessica.
Well, yeah, this was a fiance of mine. One of my many fiancés.
Jessica was my fiance without the ring, and she made a big deal about that. But I digress. Digress is the word of the day. Before we get cut off, anything else you want to say, or because I'm pretty much done here.
I just want to say, you know, it's very, you know, sharing your instance of what happened to you, which I never thought you'd say that.
I think that took
courage of you. I know you might not think it, but I think that took a lot of courage of you to even bring that up.
It is what it is, and it's to find who I am today. And if my story can touch just one person. If they're in a similar situation and they can get out of that situation and make the person be held accountable for doing what they did to them in terms of molestation, then I've done my job.
Good, good. You know what? That's good. That's great, man. You know, I just want to say, you know, I hope everyone, you know, has a rest of the good week. I'm going to be getting back to work tomorrow. I got a lot of more work to do.
We're in full production mode right
now. We're in full production mode right now.
I'm going to be out of pocket, you know, for the next couple of days. You know, you can always hit me up on text or call me or whatever. But I think this is a wrap. I don't have anything else.
Me neither.
Michael Smith for coming on. It's always a pleasure, CJ. And this has been Smirnoff Live for February 18th, 2016. That's it. Thank you.